What's up, Eastlake family? Oh my goodness, I am so excited to be here. I love this church. I've loved it for years, and I'm so excited to be a part of it and to get to close out this series, Best Year Ever. My name is Hosanna. I just want to welcome you if you're watching online or if you're here in this room. This is a great series. If you didn't get to watch all the other ones, please go online and watch them because they're the bomb. Today, I want to tell you a story that has been kind of traumatic for me to even relive in telling this talk. Years ago, I was on a one-week trip white water rafting through the Grand Canyon, and the tour guide was very adamant that it was very important that we learn to work really well together as a team. Like, we can't just maneuver on our own. We have to work well as a unit, and so we did all these trust exercises and team-building exercises, which were great. And then it came the day when we were going to come alongside this rock in the middle of the Colorado River called the Fang. In fact, some people will call it the Killer Fangs, which would be an apt title because it is this giant rock in the middle of the river that looks like two giant fangs shooting at you. And if that sounds terrifying to you, it was. Thank you. As a mildly adventurous person, it was a lot for me. And so the day came when we were going to come across the Fang, and the tour guide said, hey, you guys, this is just going to go one of two ways. One, you're going to work really well together as a team and you're going to completely avoid it. Or two, you're going to hit the top of it. The raft's going to pop. You're going to go overboard, in which case we had life jackets and we had prepared of how we were going to swim out of it. Killer fangs, people. This was the situation we were in. And so we knew the day was going to come. It comes. We see the fangs shooting out of the river. We're going towards it. And I'm like in the back because I'm mostly there for moral support. So every team needs a great cheerleader. I'm typically your girl. I'm in the back. Go team, go. Go team, go. We come to the rock and we don't clear it. Thank you. Whoever was like really passionate over here, thank you. This is a big story for me to relive. And then we didn't hit the top of it and go overboard. Somehow, we found a way to get stuck right in the middle of it. And all these waves are swarming around us and we're looking at each other like, was this an option? We didn't prepare for this. We didn't plan for this. And this woman did not tell us this when we gave her all of our money. And now we're just in the middle of this thing. But because we had prepared so much ahead of time together, we were able to freestyle our way to go through the middle of the thing. And though we weren't able to completely avoid it and we were not completely destroyed by it, we were able to work together to fight through it. And for the record, I have never gone whitewater rafting ever again. The indoors, man, that's where it's at. People don't give enough credit to the indoors. They're very, very cool. I've chosen to remain very indoorsy. But our lives are a lot like this. We plan for some things and we hope for some things, but sometimes because of circumstances way out of our control, we find ourselves stuck in the middle of the unexpected. I don't know if maybe you're in a storm right now, or maybe you just got out of a storm. Or maybe you're in the calm right before the storm, but we know that storms are inevitable and often unpredictable. So before the storms come, before the unexpected comes, we want to be surrounded already with a great team. We want to be surrounded by a great community. So when the unexpected happens, together we can fight through it. Throughout this series, we've talked about how we can have the best year ever spiritually and physically and emotionally and financially. And today I want to share about how we can have the best year ever relationally. If you're taking notes, write this down. We can have the best year ever, but we can't have it alone. I'm excited to talk about community because it hasn't always been easy for me to have one or to keep one. But community has now radically changed my life, and I just have to acknowledge that my life is different than other people's, and my seasons are different than this season or that season, and I think that's true for all of us. We don't have the same kind of lives as the person next to us. For my friend who is in the military, he told me that something he specifically has to navigate is that he moves every 2 years. How does he have relationships when there's a time restriction? For my friend who homeschools her son and runs a nonprofit, she told me something she has to navigate through is the fact that there's no one locally around her that understands exactly what she's going through. How does she navigate that? For my friends who are in college, they told me that they're surrounded by lots of people in their life phase, but it's hard to figure out who can they specifically connect with on a deeper level. All of us have very specific lives, and we're in specific seasons. Our communities will not look the same. This is not a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. But I know for all of us, no matter where we are or what kind of season, we can all have the best year ever, but none of us can have it alone. Can I hear all the extroverts say amen? And all the introverts say, aw, man. Go, team, go. We can do this together. I want to talk about why we need a great community, what a great community looks like, and how we can have a great community and hopefully keep it. I want to show you this story. Here's the thing. In Genesis, when God was created, his best world ever, he was doing all these things and making sure they were good, making sure they were best. He created life. He did create life later. That's coming. But first, he created light and dark, and he said it was good. He created the fish and the birds and the stars and the pandas, and he said it was good. But then he made man, and man was all alone, and this is what God said in Genesis 2:18. It's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make him a helper, a companion. So then he made Eve. But what's so fascinating to me about this verse is that sin had not even entered the world yet. We are still verses away from that snake tempting Eve, and she bites the fruit, and now we're all jacked up. But that had not even happened yet. Brokenness is not here. Sin is not here. Addiction is not here. And yet we see God healing the first thing ever. The first thing God ever healed was our loneliness. The first thing God ever corrected was us being alone. God's creating the world, his best world ever. God's creating humans, his best humans ever, to the greatest extent of God's imagination, the ideal way that humans will thrive and life will exist in this universe. And he said, it's not going to be good. And it's not going to be best. Because the unexpected's going to happen. So I need to make sure that they are not alone. It was essential to our human existence that we would do life together in community. So why do we need great relationships? Because alone, we will not grow to our full potential. And we will not live out God's full purpose for our lives. Don't we want to grow to our full potential? Don't we want to reach our full purpose? We got to somehow figure out this whole community thing. In Luke 5, we have an example of what a great community looks like. We know why we need one. Now, what does one look like? In Luke 5, I'm going to read here. It's a really dope story about a pretty hardcore community, and I love it. Luke 5:17. One day, Jesus was teaching in a house, and the healing power of the Lord was with him. Pharisees and religious scholars were sitting and listening, having come from villages all across the regions of Galilee and Judea and from the holy city of Jerusalem. So just real quick, if you're new to this church thing or this God thing or this Bible thing, when Jesus is in town healing people, it's about to go down. In verse 18, some men came to the house carrying a paralyzed man on his bed pallet. They wanted to bring him in and present him to Jesus, but the house was so packed with people that they couldn't get in. So they climbed up on the roof and pulled off some roof tiles. Then they lowered the man by rope so he came to rest right in front of Jesus. In this way, their faith was visible to Jesus. This is a hardcore team. These people brought their friend through a town. So like a little weird. Then they saw this crowd totally roadblocking them from getting to Jesus. They saw a wall. They saw a door. They were not fazed. They had to get creative. Someone saw the roof and was like, this sounds reasonable. Let's go up there and tear off some roof tiles. Sometimes you need friends who are a little creative, and sometimes you need friends who are a little crazy. And they tear apart these roof tiles. They had to use their muscles. They had to get their hands dirty, probably had to mess up their clothes. And then they had to consistently stretch out their arm muscles and flex all of their arm. Oh, man, was that another word for muscles? I don't know. What do strong people call it? Just imagine that I'm one of them. And they lowered him down to bring him in front of Jesus. Maybe you can relate to these friends. Maybe you are thinking, man, I have carried some friends on some mess. I have torn apart some roof tiles. I see that story of those friends. I'm like, that's me, man. Maybe some of us can relate to the moments when we have been so desperate to get our friends closer to healing. The story continues. Jesus says to the man on the pallet, my friend, all your sins are forgiven. And if I was one of the friends, I'd think, this is not ideal. We brought him here for healing of his legs. Could you ask Jesus if he could also heal his legs? He said something about sins. Ask him about the walking thing. Sometimes we come to Jesus with what we want, but he upgrades us and gives us what we really need. The story continues. The Pharisees and religious scholars were offended at this. They turned to one another and asked questions. Pharisees and religious scholars, who does he think he is? Wasn't that blasphemous? Who can pronounce that a person's sins are forgiven? Who but God alone? Here we have a historical, biblical account of some haters. Sometimes there's some haters. Would you turn to someone next to you and just let them know sometimes there's haters? You don't have to be that passionate about it in the back. Sometimes there's haters. Haters are the people that are standing in the way of you and you having full healing. Haters are the ones that are tearing you down because you got the promotion that they wanted. Haters are the ones critiquing the ways in which you're being restored because it does not go with their personal preferences. That's what was happening with these men. They were not mad that he was forgiven. They were not even necessarily mad that he wanted healing. They were mad that it did not go underneath the conditions that were best suited for them. It wasn't underneath the conditions that fit with their standards or their expectations or what they were used to. Some of us in this room have been deeply hurt by community. Man, we've been wounded real bad. But some of the people who have hurt us, they weren't necessarily against us or our lives or our healing. They were just against the fact that it was under conditions that were not best suited for them. Many times the people who have hurt us have been deeply hurt. So don't obsess too much about the haters, because the haters need healing too. But we need to be careful about the people we surround ourselves with. We want to talk about communities. Not all communities are good. The people that you surround yourself with have the power to bring you closer to or further from Jesus. You can't have the best year ever with the wrong friends. And you can only have the best year ever with the right friends. So are your friends bringing you closer to Jesus? Or are they standing in the way? Or here's a challenge. Be a friend. Don't be a hater. Be someone that cheers on other people's success. Be someone that cheers on other people's healing. Don't be someone that is quick to critique other people's restoration. Don't be quick to judge how other people might be getting closer to Jesus. Don't gossip about all the things that person used to be before they were healed. Don't you know what that guy was before he was on this mat? Let's be people that bring people closer to Jesus and not stand in the way. The story continues. Jesus responds, why are your hearts full of questions? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? So just so you'll know that the Son of Man is fully authorized to forgive sins on earth. How boss is Jesus? So boss. He turned to the paralyzed fellow lying on the pallet. I say, get up, take your mat, and go home. Then right in front of their eyes, the man stood up, picked up his bed, and left to go home, full of praises for God. We see in this story that Jesus first healed his spiritual need, but he also healed his physical need. Jesus cares about both. He wants us to be surrounded with people so they can help meet our physical needs. Community is his main plan in doing that. I remember years ago when my dad passed away. I was 18 years old when my dad passed away of cancer. And I remember all of these people surrounded us, but growing up in a Chinese family, we're not quick to share our emotions, but we're quick to make people food. And so mostly people surrounded us with lots of food. And by lots of food, I mean it was like lots of lasagna and brownies from Costco. If you're laughing, it's either because you had a loss and someone gave it to you, or you bought it because you know it's true. And no hate, I love me some lasagna and some brownies from Costco. But at one point, I was like, I don't know if I can eat any more of these brownies from Costco or this lasagna. I get it. This one's different. This one's turkey. I get it. But I can't have any more. And I remember this couple came over, and they were, you know, so sweet. Anything we can do, you know, what do you do for people when they lost loved ones? Like, no one knows what to do. I don't know what to do. And is there anything we could do for you? And I just grabbed their hands and I said, if you could hook me up with a carne asada burrito, the healing that would bring to my life, you do not know. And this couple, praise God, hallelujah, went and got carne asada burritos for everyone in my family. Praise the Lord. He wants good things for us. Amen. You can clap. He saw carne asada and he said, it is good. Best year ever, relationally, financially, get some burritos. So anyways, they gave it to us. And that might seem like a practical small thing. Man, you know it's not. You know it's not when you go through storms and when you go through the unexpected, when people are just trying to help you in any little way they can. So we know that God wants to provide for our physical needs in ways that some people might not even see are really valuable. But ultimately, God wants us to be surrounded with a community that brings us closer to Him. For something way deeper, for something way greater. Healing in our broken lives, forgiveness of our sins, and restoration in our hearts. And community and friends and relationships, they can't forgive us of all our sins and heal us of all our brokenness. Only Jesus can do that. We learn here that He's the only one fully authorized to do so. But community is who will bring us through the town, climb up on a roof, tear apart the tiles, and bring us closer to Jesus to fight for us when we just can't fight for ourselves. Maybe you feel like you can relate to these friends. Hopefully you don't feel like you can relate to the haters. So how can we have a great community like this? What does that look like practically? I think we can talk about a lot of things. I decided to summarize it to three. Three ways that we can have and hopefully keep a great community. If you're taking notes, one is be available. Be available. Maybe we need to be more aware of the people that are naturally around us that maybe have been, you know, asking us out or just wanting to get to know us, but we just haven't been very available. I think some of us need to remove the limit of our expectations of what we think our community should look like. When we limit our community to our expectations, we are limiting all the ways that God wants to surround us and strengthen us through His people. And don't put pressure on like every single relationship to be your best friend ever, because that's a lot of pressure. And if we do that, man, we're gonna miss out. We're gonna miss out on all of the various ways that God wants to use His people, because He wants to use many different kinds of relationships and layers of relationships and levels of relationships in many different ways to strengthen you in different seasons of your life. So be available for that. How can we have a great community? Two, be intentional. Be intentional. Community, it turns out, is not created on autopilot. If you want to go on a trip, but maybe no one's ever invited you on a trip, you might need to plan a trip and invite some people. If you want to go to a Super Bowl party, but last year no one thought to invite you to their Super Bowl party, you might have to plan a Super Bowl party and invite some people. Get some wings. Get some Cheetos. Do y'all know about munchies? You don't have to pick between Cheetos and Doritos and pretzels. There's these bags that are just filled with all of it. Amen. Best year ever. Just check it out. It is at your local Costco. This is not sponsored. That's just me wanting to provide for you physically. Sometimes to be intentional, we have to be the inviter. But for many of us, God isn't calling us to tear apart roof tiles. He's calling us to ask that one person to Jamba Juice. Maybe not to tear apart this physical roof, but to just remove the roof of your expectations of the community that might be available to you. I know for my friend who was in the military, he told me that when he was stationed in Alaska for 2 years, he decided that he was not going to allow this time constraint to be his excuse for why he wasn't a part of something greater. And so he got plugged into a local church and into a growth group at that church. And then when he was deployed with his unit to Afghanistan, he decided he was going to be as relational as he possibly could within his unit. And years later, when he got married to his beautiful wife and they were stationed in Tennessee, people from both his growth group at his church and his unit that was deployed with him in Afghanistan flew in and saw him get married on their wedding day. We gotta remove the expectations of what we think community is supposed to look like. For my friend who homeschools her son and runs her own nonprofit, she said that she had to reach out online digitally using the resources that we have of Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and emailing people that you wouldn't otherwise naturally be around to find people that were exactly in her life phase so she could have that connection somewhere. And then that freed her up to be very intentional with the people locally in her neighborhood. Maybe they were going through the exact same things, but she was able to have fun and do life with people day to day. And then for my friends that were in college, they said they just had to do something that was more specific to them and their taste. And so they decided to go through a book together. And once a week, they would cook a meal together. And while they were cooking, they would talk about the book. And once a month, they'd go on a road trip together. It's just so specific to them. But I think that's true for all of us. I love these stories because it shows that when we remove the expectations of what we think community is supposed to look like, we can experience community in ways we've never imagined. But sometimes the enemy has all this victory because we're busy comparing our community to other people's communities and we're completely missing out on what's right in front of us. In order to have a great community, we need to be available. We need to be intentional. But also to keep a great community, we need to stay available and stay intentional. Certainly the men in Luke 5, those friends, they were real available and real intentional. And maybe you can relate to them. But I think for many of us, we don't relate to those friends. I think for many of us, we relate more to the man on the mat. I know that's been true for me. Some of us, life has done a number on us, and we have found ourselves on our own kinds of mats. And maybe for some of us, we've gotten used to the mat, used to that label, used to that addiction, used to licking our wounds from that one thing that happened, used to that perspective, used to that mentality, used to those walls. And some of us have just decided we're just gonna live all our lives on this mat. Maybe some of us never imagined we could get off the mat. Or maybe some of us never wanted to tell people that secretly we wonder what life could be like off this mat. I think for some of us, the way that we're gonna access a great community is we're gonna need to be courageous enough to be carried. We're gonna have to do something more than being available, more than being intentional. We're gonna have to let people surround us. Some of us will never experience full healing unless we let people surround us. I remember not too long ago, I went through one of the most difficult seasons of my life, intense loss in my family and in my business and in my relationships. You know, like one of those seasons, you're just like, sure, you're not gonna make it through. And all these people in my community surrounded me. Lots of friends surrounded me, and they were sad with me, and they were mad with me. And some of them even had pity on me, which you know is the best. When people like kind of feel bad for you, you're like, thank you, this was the worst. Those are my best friends. But then eventually they started telling me some truths that were kind of hard for me to hear. See, great friends, they'll be sad with you for a season, but they will eventually tell you the truths so that you don't stay on the mat. This story means so much to me because I feel like I lived it. Eventually, these friends were calling me, making trips to me, and saying to me, it's time to get up. This is not who you are. You are better than this. It's time to get up. Stop settling for this attitude you have. How you fight for your life in this moment matters more than you know. It's time to get up. I'm gonna fight with you. It's time to get up. We'll surround you. And being weak in front of those people was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. And letting all these people know the truth about all these stories that we were going through, feeling like I was failing so publicly, being weak so publicly, is still one of the most difficult things I've ever had to do. Because some of us, we only want people to see us at our best. We don't want people to see us during the process. But many times it's those relationships that come alongside of you during the process that help us towards our best. Don't let pride stand in the way of your healing. Don't you wonder what life would be like off the mat? Don't you wonder, man, am I not accessing my full potential? Am I not living up to my full purpose? What if I had the courage to be carried? And that's why we're so passionate here about growth groups. I've seen people go through loss like I've gone through, and sometimes they're like super surrounded, and that's awesome. They have all this community they've prepared with. And then sometimes I've seen people go through similar losses, and there's like sadly hardly anyone around. And that's like heartbreaking. It's the worst thing to see. And so we are so passionate that you are surrounded in any level you feel could be the next step for you. In any capacity that you think could stretch you a little bit, we want you to already be surrounded. That's why you constantly hear us say here that life is better done in circles, not rows. Because in rows, you see the back of people's heads. And in circles, you can see people's eyes and relate to them on a personal level and pray for them in a specific way. And this is an important outer layer of community, but God really wants us to make sure that we have this, the circle, the friends that can help us through the unexpected, help us through the storms. Jesus has a plan to combat the brokenness in our world, and it's us. It's his church. It's this community thing that's kind of messy and sometimes kind of weird and kind of uncomfortable. It's us fighting through the social awkwardness of it all. It's us fighting through the forgiveness of it all. It's us fighting through the, I don't know if I want to go to that person's house. They're kind of a stranger. Do they ask us to take off our shoes? What kind of socks should I wear of it all? That's how he plans on helping us through these storms of life. In fact, in Matthew 16:18, Jesus declares this, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We are hardcore about doing life together here because we are hardcore about men and women, couples and families, being able to stand against whatever hell comes your way, whatever storm comes your way. We want you to be surrounded already, to be prepared already. We want you to have all of the physical support, all the carne asada burritos. Come on, somebody. Are we in church? As well as your spiritual needs met, as well as you having healing in your broken hearts and a restoration in your lives. Different levels of community. They won't all look the same, but we can have the best year ever, but we can't have it alone. And we can live our best lives ever, but we can't live them alone. These truths are not just for this year or this month or for this series. These are truths to help you succeed in your whole life. All the storms, in every season, whatever hell, we want you to be prepared and surrounded. So my challenge for all of us this week is, would you take the risk? Would you take the risk? I considered making this take the leap, like something kind of like fun and joyful, like a pep in your step, so it sounds like it's going to be really exciting. But for anyone that struggles with community like me, we're like, we know it's a risk. For me, community has been a risk, man. Community has been a really hard thing for me to get to know and embrace. I grew up on the streets, and so for me, community was really like a fight for survival for yourself. And so now, like coming into this church thing and this God thing, I had to kind of change some of my ideas about community and the life that was available to me. And 8 years ago, I started traveling full-time and speaking full-time, and so a lot of my life is in hotels and in airports, and my schedule's different every week. And so I resolved years ago that I just wouldn't have community. I resolved years ago that my life was just too different and I was just gonna kill it alone. There just came a time where I was just so lonely and I felt like I had just hit my personal cap, my business cap. I couldn't risk as much as I used to. I couldn't give as much as I used to. I was just really lonely. And throughout the years, I had met a lot of people at churches and conferences, and there was people that I recognized. And one time I was in a town, and I remember there was a woman there who I had ran into a lot over the years at conferences and stuff. It's kind of like a business relationship that was really good. I really liked her. we're in totally different life phases. Like, she runs an entire business and she has all these kids and I have a lot of plants and I can barely keep those alive. So it's like totally different. We are from different parts of the country, but our hearts beat for the same thing, and I just kind of felt more alive when I was with her, and I was just desperate to get off this mat. And so I just shot her a text because she had given me her number and asked if she wanted to have lunch, and we had lunch, and like 6 months later, we had another lunch, and we kept in touch over the phone, and over time, we started making trips to each other, and years later, this woman's one of my very, very best friends. And it took a lot of time and a lot of intentionality, and texting her was one of the least Hosanna things I've ever done. Like, I had extreme anxiety. Like, all you're doing is texting. You're just like, what are they going to say? Do they think I'm weird? I don't know. Maybe she didn't mean to give me your number. Is this a burner? You just don't know. Being intentional was very hard for me. And it turns out being available was very hard for her. But we have gone through some hells together. And we've both had to have the courage to be carried by each other all these years. And I just can't imagine my life without her now. So my challenge to you to take the risk, I don't say lightheartedly, I'm just wondering if there's any way that you could be a little bit more available this week. Could you just be a little bit more intentional this week? Maybe just be aware of the people around you. Maybe invest more in the people that you're already with. Or maybe you just need to have the courage to be carried. Open up about that thing that's really happening in your marriage. Open up about that thing that's really happening in your business. Whatever it is for you, maybe it's getting plugged into a growth group. That would be amazing. It would strengthen your life and blow your mind in ways you've never imagined. Maybe it's starting a growth group. That'd be the bomb. Whatever it is for you, I'm going to ask you to take the risk, because community has changed my life and I'll never be the same. I'm so glad you're not meeting the Hosanna I was 10 years ago. She'd be a bit much and she'd be alone. So my challenge to all of us is that we would take the risk to have the best year ever, and also to continuously grow to our full potential and live our best, fullest lives ever. I'm going to pray for all of us today. Would you pray with me? God, I pray that you would you remind us every day this week just the ways that maybe we're putting up walls, that we need to be more available, the ways that we're being apathetic, that we could be more intentional, and the ways that we're covering up our truths. Help us have the courage to be carried. Would you just remind us that there is so much more for us if we open up a bit more in our community? In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much.